The double double is over and it's time for a blank. We debate our free hit teams, worry about how under budget they are, and Jules gives the worst differential pick pitch I've ever heard. So the back-to-back double game weeks are over. The fun is over. I think we can just about call it fun. Probably a bit of stress as well. Kelly Summers back with you on the FPL pod alongside Julian Neron and Sam Bonfield. We've got a blank game week ahead, guys. But let's firstly focus on the double and the double-double and how we're feeling coming out of it all. I think the word I would use is underwhelmed. What about you, Jules?
Yeah, absolutely, Kelly. When you look at our teams and the points we got, it feels very much like a single game week that where we would have done well. But for me, certainly, apart from Mateta is my only double-digit player. When I had, I think, 8 players with double game weeks. Between the ones who didn't play one game, we played the other, like Ding or Saka pretty much. The ones who did well in one game but terribly in the other game, like, I don't know, Rodgers, Munoz, even my boy Saliba. The goalkeeper's not great. The only good thing for me, really, is the assistant manager's chip on Oliver Glasner. I've never felt so Austrian in my life than today, I won't lie.
Against Arsenal as well. Against Arsenal, yeah, that but, point.
Yeah, but for FPL, yeah, exactly, that point. And even if I love Arsenal, I could not care less last night. I was so happy for Glasner and that Mateta genius goal too. But yeah, apart from that, really, the rest, I agree with you. I think underwhelming is the right way to put it.
I'm sorry, but Sam, I had 12 double game week players. I expect to get more than 75.
Yeah, it's one of those though, isn't it? I think it kind of sums up exactly how we feel about double game weeks all the time. Like we all get double game week fever.
But we never learn.
We never learn that the single game weekers actually can massively outperform those with doubles because either they get one start and then they don't feature at all like Moreno, or they don't do particularly well in one of the games like the Arsenal defenders, or like there's all these reasons that come up why the double game week has just never really seemed to hit those highs. Yet every time we get double game week fever and we fall into that kind of like we must sell our single game weekers, and you look at the players that you then got rid of, all the ones that you thought about bringing in but then you ruled out because they only had one game week, and actually they've performed incredibly well and probably would have been good buys because they would have set you up moving forward. So yeah, I mean, I think you said underwhelming at the beginning. That's definitely for me how it feels like playing the bench boost. And I mean, the roller coaster of emotions on my bench boost this week has been ridiculous. Obviously, with the Wan-Bissaka, first of all, just didn't show up at all. Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate that. 0 points from you. And then for Areola to lose his clean sheet in the 94th minute upset me greatly on Easter Saturday. So that was fun. Connor Bradley, the highlight of my bench boost. So I suppose at least that transfer went well, but everything else about the bench boost was not great.
Yeah, I was live presenting Final Score when that Southampton goal went in. And I didn't really clock because my brain was in Final Score. And then when at the end of the game, when we threw to the tables and I just looked at my phone and you'd message Sam and loads of mother, my phone was just, my home screen was just full of people going, oh, Areola clean sheet, points gone. Because yeah, I think a lot of people were expecting or hoping for a clean sheet.
He was on
for
10
one.
Yeah, when it went.
It just shows the massive swings that can occur. And if you fall on the wrong side of it, it can feel pretty nasty. I say underwhelming, but it was still quite good fun. It's double the fun, isn't it, when you've got so many players playing in a double game week. And when you've got a bench boost active like myself and Sam as well. It was actually a huge chip week, by the way, as well. 1,745,820 managers used a chip last week, with over 500,000 managers already had their assistant manager chip active. Of course, Jules was one of those. He was on the final week of 3 weeks of assistant manager. That does mean there was over 2.3 million chips active last game week. So if we're feeling underwhelmed, I don't think we are the only ones, that's for sure. As for our scores then, Sam got 72 points, Ian got 83, I got 75, Jules got 68. Overall, Jules, let's quickly reflect on your assistant manager, because it probably started pretty frustrating, but in the end, Glasner came good.
Yeah, he came good. Yeah, 15 points in total over the two games. Obviously, there was the 5 points for the 0-0 draw against Bournemouth, where it was a poor game, really. Richards got sent off, so Palace down to 10 men, not really working out for them. And then the 10 points at the Emirates yesterday, where, you know, producer Jesse was there and we were watching on TV. It was a really good performance, I felt, from Palace, when Arsenal were maybe a little bit slow and a little bit sloppy at times, probably already thinking about the Champions League next week. So in the end, you know, for the 2 points I got in the first double game week for Glasnow, which was really poor, and I really didn't like Austria and Austrian at that time. Now I love Austria and Austrians after the 15 points of this double game week that he had. So overall, you know, I love that chip, I have to say. I won't lie. I thought it was really good. And the emotions were great, and supporting a manager is something good. It's different than supporting all the players that we have in our teams usually. So yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, I really liked it. We've all played it now, and I think we kind of all agree. And also how powerful it can be, because you can really, particularly in double game weeks, get kind of bumper points. Overall, Sam, you've kind of reflected on your team. I wanted to talk about captaincy because, let's be honest, I just about got it right, but Marmoush didn't even return. That's only because Saka, who you guys went for, didn't even start. It was a tough week for captaincy, wasn't it? Unless you went Mateta, I think.
Yeah, and I don't think many people were going for Mateta because on paper, the double game week wasn't great, was it? Like, it didn't look like the best game week to attack from a captaincy perspective anyway. It was frustrating, wasn't it? Because I think there were a lot of people that were kind of like, oh, do I stick with Salah? And of course, in the end, he didn't do anything either. So that wouldn't have been any better, really. I mean, it would have been 1 point better off because of the clean sheet. But yeah, I think it was, a bit of a frustrating captaincy week. Like for me, Eze would have probably been my best captaincy pick this week. Alongside Mateta, they both got me 10. So, but I never really considered either of them. I was always on Saka or Salah, and I was back and forward between the two of them. So when Saka goes off on 57 in the first game, I was like, this is going to be a disaster. And I just thought Salah would do better than he did. So felt a little bit relieved when he didn't, knowing that Saka would have some extra minutes, although I wasn't expecting him to start both anyway. But yeah, the captaincy was definitely a frustration for a lot of people this week.
How Saka didn't return in that Ipswich game.
I know.
Absolutely mad. By the way, I'm sorry, but we got robbed of an assist for Saka that was given to Odegaard on that first Trossard goal when the cross is from Saka. It literally brushes off under the foot of Odegaard. And then how the ball
off
gets...
the stats.
How did the assist get to Odegaard from Saka? Robbed, first time. And robbed, I'm really sorry, on the Marmoush assist in the City Villa game. How is that not given to Marmoush as an assist? It would not have changed much for us, to be fair, because for you, Kels, it would have, because Marmoush was your captain, right? So yep, for you, the intention is for him to cross the ball towards Bernardo Silva in the box. The Konsa deflection doesn't change anything of the trajectory of the ball. I can't believe that we're not given that assist to Marmoush.
He was the only one, Saka, that didn't return in that game, wasn't he? Every other player in that game got a return, just not Saka. So annoying.
We need to make like a jingle or a sting so that every week when Jules does his weekly rant about points
and
assists.
No, but it's true, like, I was mad, really.
It's not like you. Okay, let's move on from the last game week then, shall we? Because it was just about good fun, wasn't it? But of course, we've got the big blank ahead of us. Before we move on to that, let me check in on the FPL pod. Mini League, Mac is back. Mac? Max? Sorry, I was making it rhyme, but his name is not Mac. It's Max. I can't speak on this Thursday morning. He played his bench boost. He had a more successful bench boost than we did, that's for sure. Martinez, Rodgers, Bowen and Kivior. What a signing that was if you brought him in. He took a minus eight and he did make 5 changes to his team, but he almost got 100 points, got 98 in total. Dan goes down into second. He also took a minus eight, but his bench boost wasn't quite as successful. We had Pope, Murphy, Milenkovic. They all blanked. He did, however, have Kirk as his points. Boy, how I regret selling him. Dan's team registered 77. He's now 12 points behind Max. Andrea got 74. He's in third. Jake Poplowski and Ian Roylance are fourth and fifth. Ian got 101 for the game week. Casper, by the way, had his final assistant manager week. He stuck with Glasner like Jules did and picked up those table bonus points. Intrigued to see how the Pod Mini League shakes up as we enter these final few game weeks. Okay, then, on to the dreaded one. Well, I say dreaded. It's actually, I'm not dreading it because
is
I love
dreaded?
Playing free hit. It's good fun if you've got...
I know,
right, we've
amazing.
All got our free hit active, right? Yeah? Jules?
Yeah.
Okay. You can pick whoever we want then. This is great, isn't it?
Exactly.
A reminder, there's 2 games missing from blank game week 34. The teams that are blanking are Arsenal, Villa, Manchester City and Palace. Forest, who are the other team who play in the FA Cup, of course, have had their fixture rescheduled. So it does remain in game week 34. So if you have got Forest and Brentford players, don't worry. They will be starting for you this week. Just not at the weekend. Let's just quickly discuss the decision to play free hit. Sam, for me, absolute no-brainer. I'd got 2 players.
Is that all you had, 2?
I think it was 2, yeah. Well, I looked at it and I was like, have I got any? Oh yeah, I got a couple that I think were on my bench. I mean, I've played my free hit now, so I haven't got it open, but yeah, it was 2. It wasn't... Put it this way, I would have needed to take a minus 48 or something ridiculous to kill the team. So
you should have done that, Kel.
But I built into it. I knew this was going to happen. It was part of the plan, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if there was two strategies, wasn't there, on wildcard. It was either invest heavily in the doubling players for 33 and then use the free hit to get you out of the problem in 34, or do it the other way around and invest heavily in the teams that weren't blanking in 34, but then use your free hit to target the doublers. It was one of those two strategies. And for most people, I think you did it that way round, so that like us, you're free hitting in 34 simply because it leaves you with a slightly nicer team to deal with for the rest of the run in. So for me, I would have had eight players or nine players blanking. So I was in a similar position to you. But I do feel like I am still slightly scarred by the free hit from last season, because this chip terrifies me. Like, having now had my triple captain go badly and my bench boost go badly, I'm going into this one going, I surely have to get one chip that goes well this season, because had those other two worked, like, where would my rank be right now? And that's the frustration, I think, for FPL managers. And it does put a little bit of pressure on the free hit, because unlike in other weeks, like last season when we played it, and you basically had like a pool of about 10, 15 players to pick from, it wasn't like a big pool, and you were having to compromise on players that you maybe didn't necessarily want or wouldn't have invested in otherwise. This season, I genuinely feel like this week I could have picked 40 plus players on the free hit for this week, and it still have been a really good team. So like, I can't settle on one, because every time I think, oh, I'm nearly there with it, I look at a player that I don't have and think, oh, how can I get you in? Who can I leave out? So it's quite tough, I think, to free hit, but for good reasons, because there's so many good players you can have.
Yeah, it's been tough. I've done a few different drafts, and I kind of, there's certain teams you want to treble up on, but then you look at it and you're like, oh, but I'm missing a player from that team. And yeah, it's really tough. Let's move on then to our best free hit picks, because I think this could be quite a long conversation with a few debates in it. Actually, before we do that though, I think sometimes on this pod, we can kind of get lost in what we're doing. There will be people who aren't free hitting, who have maybe used the chip already. George, is there a number of players, or is it okay to take a minus four this week, or even minus eight if you need to?
Yeah, minus eight, minus four if you want. I think nine players is really the minimum you should have playing. I mean, 10, 11, great, of course. And nine, I think, is probably the minimum. I would not go below nine. Like eight, I think, is, even if some perform, eight is not really that many compared to everybody else who would play the free hit like us, who will have 11. It'd be tricky for your mini leagues, for your overall ranking. So, we take the minus eight. I think we have all done it before, minus eight on a game week like this where some teams are blanking. But ideally, you go 9 to 10, obviously 11.
Okay. Hopefully this will help you then, even if you aren't free hitting, because basically we're going to review who the best picks are for this game week. So let's start with goalkeepers. Who are the standout picks? Let's start with who we've gone for on our free hit, because I reckon there'll be some variance. Then we can talk about the other options that were in there. Sam, you go first.
Yeah. So I think, had he not got a flag on him, Jose Sarr would probably be the standout.
I've got rid of him for that reason.
Yeah, he was the one I wanted. But the problem with that is that makes me feel like then I need to put Bentley as the backup goalkeeper. But I actually want two outfield Wolves players as well. So having Jose Sarr feels difficult. I mean, you can do it. So I have thought about still doing it and then just picking, because I don't know how you guys have found it, but for me, budget's really not an issue in this team. Like in my current draft, I've got like 5 million in the bank, which seems absolutely stupid. Same. So, and that's with two really good two expensive first choice goalkeepers. So you could do it if you want to go with Jose Sarr, which I still might do, and start him and then have a backup goalkeeper who is like the first choice from one of the other teams and let them come on. At the moment, I've got Leno as my goalkeeper for the week, and then the backup is with Kepa at Bournemouth against Manchester United. So those are my two, but Jose Sarr is kind of the one I would really like.
Jules, who have you got?
Yeah, I've put Sarr because if your backup goalkeeper is guaranteed starter, like me, I went for Pope at home to Ipswich, then it's fine. You can start Sarr on your team, and if he doesn't play, then Pope would come in, or whoever your second goalkeeper is coming. So make sure that if you do that, then your second option as a goalkeeper has to be someone that is going to play. So whether you go for Bentley, but like Sam said, he takes you two Wolves players out already. But I think I thought when I did it, Leno is the other option, of course, you can get, because I think And this is nothing against you, Leicester fans, Southampton fans, and Ipswich fans, but we might target you easily, like heavily and easily in this free hit. So you can sue us later if you want. But like, I would not mind having three players facing Leicester, three facing Southampton, and three facing Ipswich. So Pope and Sa, or Sa and Leno, I think works really well in a combination like this.
It also does depend, doesn't it, on using all of those slots. And also for me, I've got a Wolves defender and I'd rather have the Wolves defender that I've gone for. Do I then want to double up? Actually, maybe for once I do, because as you said then, it's Leicester. So yeah, it's really tough. I also am considering Sells just because he's the best goalkeeper in the game. And so maybe he'll be my backup. I don't know. That's another name I'd throw in. But yeah, I think probably goalkeepers facing Leicester, Southampton and Ipswich are probably going to be the three most popular. Should we move on? I think that covers it, doesn't it? Let's go on to the defence. Again, are we going to load up, Sam, on defences that are facing Southampton, Ipswich and Leicester, or is that too simplistic?
Yeah, I've got one from each of them. Aitnori was my first pick. It's weird, isn't it? Like when I look at my defenders,
Aitnori was my first pick too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. The most expensive defender I've got there is 5.5, but then equally could easily have been a cheaper one. So I've got Aitnori. I've got Shah from Newcastle, which is a change for me because normally Livramento is my kind of go-to, but I really like the underlying numbers for Shah. So I think he makes sense. And then Sessegnon, who is becoming the darling of FPL right now. So them three. Plus then I've got Kukurea against Everton because I am a bit worried about Everton if they don't have James Tarkowski at the back, as we saw the collapse when he went off against Man City at the weekend. And then a Bournemouth defender, and I can't decide which one.
Yeah, but I've got him too.
Him and Aitnori were the reason I wanted to free hit, because I miss Kirkes. I regret getting rid of him. He's one of my signings of the season. I was blinded by a double, so he was coming straight back in. He's good fun, Sam, trust me. Watch him blank now.
The problem is, how are you playing him, Kels? Because Aitnori, so the I feel like a Wolves defender, a Newcastle defender and a Fulham defender are must plays. Plus, if I'm having Kukurea against an Everton side that don't really score goals, plus he has that attacking upside as well, I feel like I have to play him too. Now, I can manage this by, instead of playing one of those defenders, playing a goalkeeper from that team. So I could go for Leno and not play Sessegnon. I could go for Saar and not play Aitnori. But how am I playing Kirkes? Like, it's difficult, and this is the problem with this free hit team. So I'm looking at them and going, all 15 of you look fabulous and I could play all of you and I've got 5 million in the bank and I can't bench boost this week, so I know that this week's bench is going to have a load of points on it, and Kirkes currently is the one that's sitting on my bench.
Yeah, Livramento is the one on my bench at the moment as well, but that will probably change. Jules, who have you gone for?
So I agree with a lot of you, all those names. I like Sessegnon, Aitnori is there, Kirkes is there. The one I've got different is Trent. I think Trent, after the goal, especially against Leicester at the weekend, I expect him to start this game.
Does he start, Jules? So I've got Virgil. Yeah. Virgil is also another reason that Livramento's on my bench. I've gone Virgil just because I was worried about Trent's start.
I think after, especially after the goal last week, and then coming back from an injury, he played 20 minutes or so. It's normal. I think he's going to start. This is the game of the title. You know, they're going to win the title on Sunday, and Trent is leaving at the end of the season. I just think he's all fitted, not just for him to start, but for him to play well. It's Spurs, sorry Sam. So it's like open door. Literally, it's an open day. You go in, you visit. You know, you visit the Spurs team, the Spurs goal. You score loads of goals. You're champions at home, in front of your crowd. The last time you were champions, there was nobody in the stadium. And I think Trent could be in for, or I hope for a great afternoon, great game, like Salah, to be fair. So yeah, I like the idea of Trent because I can't afford him normally, but I can afford him now, as we've been saying, with the free hit. So I really fancy something like Aitnori, Trent and Sessegnon or Kirkes, somebody like that.
Sam, I'll give you the right to reply after he's just slaughtered your team.
I mean, I don't really have a lot of reply, just do I, really?
Open door. French doors open, wide open.
I mean,
fresh air.
Sure, but I think that, so the thing that puts me off the Liverpool defence, Trent is slightly different because of the attacking threat that Trent brings. But the thing that slightly puts me off is that Spurs do score goals, as I saw on Monday night when I thought Sells was going to get me a nice boost because Spurs were losing, but at least, you know, Sells was getting me a clean sheet. Oh no, that we had to lose 2-1 just to, you know, rub salt in my wounds. It was a defeat and I lost my clean sheet point. And then Sells got booked for time wasting just for fun and cost me some more points. So I can I agree with what Jules says. I think Liverpool will win. I think they will win the title. I do think they'll score multiple goals. I think Trent could be involved. But I wouldn't go for somebody else in that back line because I do think we'll score because Liverpool do have a habit of just conceding a goal here or there. They fall asleep and they defensively do have these moments where they let people through and Spurs do score goals. Obviously, the main focus for Spurs is not on Sunday. It's on the following Thursday and the Europa League game is so important. But I don't know. I think Trent, yeah, if he's going to start, which I think he will, then I think you can go there. But I don't fancy a Virgil or a Konate or even the other side because I couldn't tell you who's going to start out of Tsimikas and Robertson on the other side. So I would just be cautious with if you're investing in the Liverpool defence for a clean sheet, I'm not sure that that will happen. But I do think the attacking returns for Trent will be there.
Okay. Anything else to add on defence? Have we missed anyone? Who did you come close to, Sam? Because you mentioned you've had loads of dilemmas and there were so many players you could have wanted in there.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the fixtures for this week, like there's a number that you kind of look down and go, I think there could be a clean sheet here or some attacking returns there. Like, so I think the main ones are obviously Newcastle against Ipswich, it's Southampton against Fulham, so you would want to invest there, and then obviously Wolves. But I think when you look across the rest of it, like we've just said about Spurs, Manchester United's focus is going to be on the Europa League. So Bournemouth definitely feel like a team that you would want to invest in. Nottingham Forest Brentford, for me, I keep looking at that because not having a Nottingham Forest defender does feel a bit odd. And I think if you're not free hitting, you will have a Nottingham Forest defender almost certainly in your team, whether it be Sells or whether it be one of the back line. But Brentford do score goals. And so it kind of puts me off investing. But I think if you're not free hitting, then you can definitely play your Nottingham Forest defender. And that's okay. Chelsea, I think, are the other one. Like, I've got Cucurella because of the attacking threat that he brings. But I just don't see many goals from Everton at the moment. And like I say, if James Tarkowski isn't there, then I would suspect that they will be much weaker defensively. Because when Michael Keane came on at the weekend, they lost their shape. They lost two goals and ended up losing the draw that I thought they were going to get against Man City. So I think a Chelsea defender, weirdly, because normally they're not great either defensively, but I think they do make sense.
Would you be tempted by a Brighton defender with West Ham at home, Jules?
Yeah, definitely. And there's a midfielder that I'm thinking about for that game because I don't think West Ham are very good right now. So I think for Brighton, the problem is we are all going to play with a back three, really. For a free hit, it's really rare that you go for back four and take away a midfielder or a forward slot, right? So three, and if you want already a Newcastle one, a Wolves defender, maybe a Fulham one or a Trent or somebody else like that, or Kirkes, plus maybe Cucurella, then there's no space, there's no room really for a Brighton defender. So Estupinan or somebody like that you might fancy, I don't know, Van Heek, whoever, even Verbruggen in goal, because West Ham are so inoffensive right now. But then there's, certainly in my team, there's no space for one.
Okay, then let's move on from defence into midfield. And it feels, I mean, we're all going to keep Salah, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a given. And I imagine most people already own Mo Salah. If you don't, we'd recommend bringing him in on your free hit this game week and then finding a way to bring him in properly next week as well. Outside of him, is there any premiums in your team, Sam, other than Salah in that midfield?
Yeah, I've got Cole Palmer at the minute. And
I have, but I don't know if he'll stay.
No, and I'm the same. Like, and it was one of those where I can't decide whether I've put Cole Palmer in there because I've got so much money that I figured, well, I might as well spend it. It's that kind of reassuringly expensive thing that comes with, when you've got all this budget, you kind of go, well, it seems a bit odd to not, you know, spend it. But Cole Palmer is the biggest headache that I have right now. And part of me is like, if I don't put him in and then he scores or gets something, then I know I'll be really frustrated by that. But at the same time, the underlying stats just haven't been there. His performances haven't been there. And the Everton game, like Everton they have been really solid in recent weeks, apart from when Tarkowski went off. So there's that part that's also playing in my head is that how much do we see Palmer getting? But with Tarkowski not there through the middle, we might actually see some good attacking potential from Palmer. So it's a real headache because also he's taking up a spot that I would quite like to use on about five other different players. So I'm backwards and forwards all the time. But then I also keep thinking back to when you didn't get Palmer last time, Kells, and like that worries me because I think he could go off this week.
Jules, have you got him?
No, I've stopped believing. I won't lie. I sold him for Saka a couple of weeks ago. I watched him again at the weekend. I just didn't see any spark. And yeah, of course he can come back. He's so good and so talented. I don't think this Chelsea team is working right now. I don't think Nico Jackson is very good and has come back from injury at the right level for now. And I think Palmer is just suffering for a team that is just not functioning properly. So the game against Fulham, I thought he was so disappointed and I was very happy I didn't have him anymore. And yeah, this Everton team is not going to be as solid without Tarkowski, but they will be still very defensive and very well organized regardless. So I'm not sure there'd be much space for Palmer. There's always a bit of set pieces or you can have a strike from long range or whatever. But I don't know. I don't feel it for this week, certainly. So he won't come in my team at all.
Okay, then. Jules, give us another name that's in your midfield.
So there's a question mark over Bruno Fernandes, or for now he's in the team. But like Sam said, one, I'm not sure he's going to start. I don't know exactly what Ruben Amorim is going to do for this game against away at Bournemouth when obviously the priority is Thursday night and the Europa League. So you could easily see United going for a B team massively and again having Bruno on the bench and Garnacho on the bench and players like that on the bench like we saw at the weekend, really. I think that's a strong possibility. But Bruno is tempted for the same reason that you guys have Cole Palmer as well, is that you can afford him too. And he's such a special player that he could easily, coming off the bench, have scored twice at the weekend, for example. So Bruno is one. I like Mbomo. I like Mbomo even away at Forest. I still think that Mbomo surprises me every week. One of my biggest regrets this season is not having gone for Mbomo. Yeah. Fellow Frenchman as well. Not from Paris, but still. I still love him.
Not had him at all?
No. I think a little bit at the beginning and then very, very quickly I went for somebody else. And I'm 18 goals and 4 assists or 5 assists this season is incredible. For me, he's one of the players of the season by far.
Agree.
So I'm thinking this is really good. I can bring him in. I would love to have him. And Forest is one clean sheet in the last 5, by the way. They concede goals now, as we saw against Spurs. They concede loads of chances in that game. So I think Mbomo makes sense. And finally, one of the Newcastle wide players, I'm not sure about Murphy anymore, but Barnes is in good form. And Justin Kluivert, because like we said, United can have a B team at Bournemouth, and then Kluivert then or Semenyo or somebody like that would make sense from a Bournemouth point of view, because I think they could go at home and win that game pretty easily then.
Yeah, okay. So there's a few things to unpick from that. Firstly, when you gave your explanation for why you've got Bruno in your team, completely get it. But all the reasons you gave are the reasons I'm avoiding Manchester United. Just because, because I know you compared it to kind of us having Cole Palmer. But for me, Cole Palmer is facing a Tarkowski-less Everton, whereas Bournemouth can be really good. And they always get themselves up for the big games. They're at home. So for me, I'm avoiding Manchester United. Sam, your thoughts on Bruno?
Yeah, I was so fascinated listening to that. And this is kind of what I meant at the beginning, because that's entirely different to my midfield. There's apart from Salah, they're all different. And I think that will be a lot. There will be a lot of managers that are in this boat where you look at it and genuinely, there were on my watch list of players that I'm thinking about, there's about 12 midfielders because I think there's a lot of choice. For me, Bruno hasn't been one that I've considered at all because I don't know what Manchester United are going to do heading in, a bit like Spurs. I just feel like the priority is not those games at the weekend. Their priorities are Thursday night and the Europa League ties. Because let's be frank, both of those sides want to make European football and neither of them can do that from their league positions at the bottom of the table, sitting just above the relegation zone. So they're going to have to put full focus in getting to Bilbao. So for me, yes, Bruno is he is very special and he can pull something from nothing. But the Bournemouth defence has been solid this season. And that is definitely not an easy fixture for Manchester United against Bournemouth. Like on paper, you look at that and go, okay, yeah, it's a nice game, but it's really not. Going down to Bournemouth is really tough. So yeah, he's not one I've considered. The rest of my midfield has Palmer in it. I've got Jacob Murphy over Harvey Barnes. I'm just a little bit worried about the Anthony Gordon thing and what might happen with that Newcastle midfield and who might get the start. And I think it's one of those, like, it is a really tough call between Murphy and Barnes for me. And I've kind of been backwards and forwards. The reason I've ended up with Murphy is because Leif Davis got sent off last week, and that's down Murphy's side. And I think if you're looking at one-on-ones, then that side of the pitch is probably where Ipswich are now going to be at their weakest. And so I've gone for Murphy on that basis. Plus, I've also got that Murphy's in my current team. If I take him out and then he bangs, that is going to upset me way more than if I... Do you know what I mean? It's one of those, isn't it? Like, if you take out a player on your free hit and then actually they end up doing really well, it's like, oh, that's really annoying. So I think the fact that Leif Davis isn't there is kind of... I think that will leave space for Jacob Murphy. I think he'll be able to get a bit more joy down that side. The other two that I've got in there are Jarrod Bowen, who... I know what you're saying earlier, Jules, about West Ham, but if anybody's going to do well in that West Ham team, it will be Jarrod Bowen. Like, he's got the potential to be excellent. And then I've got Iwobi, who feel like, and it feels mad, doesn't it, to go with players from these teams and to spend so little budget in the midfield. But I really like what Iwobi's doing. He's got 2 goals and assists and 4 bonus points in the last 3 game weeks, performing incredibly well. Faces Southampton, who have conceded a league high 78 goals. They've only kept 2 clean sheets over the entire season, and it's only Leicester that have kept fewer. So I think that Fulham attack is one that I want to be invested in.
Yeah, Iwobi was on my list as well, to be fair.
Yeah, I had Iwobi, but then I had three Fulham players without him. So it's kind of, it's balancing those spots, isn't it? Particularly with your Fulhams, your Newcastles, where are you going to use your 9 players playing those newly promoted and virtually relegated sides? My midfield is a bit of an amalgamation. Sam, just run through your midfield, just the names now, just because people might be lost because we mentioned so many different names.
So it's Salah and Palmer, Iwobi, Murphy and Bowen.
Okay. Yeah, mine is an amalgamation of both of yours. I've got Palmer, Salah, Barnes, Semenyo over Cliver at the moment, but that's, I'll probably go Cliver. I don't know. That's probably my big question mark. And then Mbeumo, but as it stands, Mbeumo's actually on my bench, which feels really bizarre
as
well.
That's what I mean about these free hit teams. Like, you're going to have to bench 2 of them, probably, unless you're going to bench one of the forwards.
No, I'm going to play 3 forwards, I think.
Yeah.
And on that note, let's move on to the forwards. I'm going to tell you mine first, just because I am. I've got Isak, Cunha, could become Strand Larsen, but I think we'll stay as Cunha, and Raul Jimenez. Who have you got, Sam?
So I can't go Strand Larsen again. I remember last time I went Strand Larsen over Cunha.
Five,
Jules, but do you remember what happened the last time? I know. So Isak and Cunha, and then I've got Chris Wood.
Okay, fair enough. Jules?
This is all on my list. Cunha, Isak, Wood. 1 in 6 for Wood, by the way. I know he scored against Spurs and Sam was probably impressed because she was there and she cried.
We had 2 chances. He scored both of them. Only one of them got
ruled
out.
He's so clinical, isn't he? It's just ridiculous.
Super clinical.
Yeah.
And great service. Then Strand Larsen, I think, has to be in the conversation whether you prefer Cunha, and you can't really ask Cunha
for?
And Strand Larsen. I know.
That's the thing. It's tough, isn't it? Who do you go for?
So Cunha, I mean, I would never give the points for an assist to somebody that gets fouled and then somebody still has to take the free kick and score like Sarabia, and then, Cunha gets the point. But anyway, the form is on Strand Larsen. Cunha was suspended, as we said, just coming back, was very lucky, got points for nothing really at the weekend. But Strand Larsen,
he scored in the game week before. He scored off the bench the week before as well.
Yeah, true. But Strand Larsen is the one really.
Also against Spurs.
He didn't score against United. But Strand Larsen has been in great, great form.
While
Cunha wasn't there. Now that Cunha is back, the ball is going to go to Cunha a lot more than when he wasn't there, when the ball used to go to Strand Larsen a lot. They play differently without Cunha than they do with Cunha, which is normally their best player by a mile. So now that Cunha is back, I would not go for Strand Larsen. I think we have to talk about him because he's on such great form. There will be a lot of people listening to the show or watching that are thinking about Strand Larsen, and maybe like us, Cunha or Strand Larsen. The Cunha return, I think, changes everything for Strand Larsen. Sadly for him, and I think Cunha is, if you want to pick one of the two, Cunha has to be the one you picked, really.
Mm. Okay, so you've gone Cunha, Isak. Who was your third one?
Yeah, so then Wood is obviously in the conversation too. And then my little boy, Johan Wissa, Paris born and bred, 2 in 2 now, well, 1 in each over his last 2 Premier League games. Such a wonderful player. If you don't want to go for Mbeumo and you still fancy a bit of a Brentford flair in your team, then you can always go for Wissa. But I think Wood, Cunha, Isak is probably the right front three to go with for this weekend.
And also, I guess, like for me, I've gone Raul Jimenez because I didn't go with Iwobi in midfield. It just feels like you just need to cover that Fulham attack, I guess. So it's just the way you try to do it. Any other honourable mentions, or are those kind of four or five forwards the real standouts, Sam?
I think they're probably the standouts. I did think about Nico Jackson as well against, if you're not going for Palmer, then maybe you could go for Nico Jackson in that spot. Again, I think it's that, what will Everton be like without Tarkowski there? Like, can we see a little bit of, you know, can we see some problems in that spot?
Danny Welbeck as well, maybe, 2 goals in his last three.
Particularly with João Pedro. João Pedro suspended. He's going to be the one that starts up top. Probably takes penalty responsibility, given that João Pedro won't be there,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, maybe. And Mitoma will start on the left where João Pedro was at the weekend. So Mitoma, maybe, if you fancy another midfielder than all the ones we mentioned.
Yeah, and Evan Nilsson was another one that was on my list of potentials. Like, for all the reasons that you guys have said about Kluivert and Semenyo, I think, you know, that Manchester United team, maybe not full focused. It's a home game. They've had a great season, Bournemouth. And I think, you know, probably Evan Nilsson can get something in that one. So he was another one that kind of was in high consideration. But the three slots, and I think two of them go instantly with Wood and with Cunha. So then you're literally on one forward and you've got probably four or five that you could feasibly go for.
Yeah, it's really tough, isn't it? It's one of those weeks where we need to be able to play two chips so we can play our bench boost as well. It's a brilliant week to play hit, though. I'm quite glad. It's quite nice that, well, I'm saying this, replay this back to me next week when it's been an absolute disaster. But on paper, it feels like a really nice week to free hit because of some of the fixtures that are in there that we can really target in on. Okay, then, that's our free hit teams. Have a listen back a few times to that section because we mentioned so many different names. There's going to be a lot of similar teams, but I think there's the possibility of having a few differences as well, which is really nice. So let's move on to differential of the week then. Last week's differentials, Jules, you went for Moreno, 4 points, got an assist against Ipswich, which did play in the second game against Palace. Sam, you went for Bradley, who we both brought into our teams.
Do you remember? I also mentioned Nico Reilly. Do you remember? I said last week I had two. One was Nico Reilly. Really, really like...
Why didn't you go for him then?
Because it was... I didn't want you to think I was...
If you were really backing him, you should have really...
No. I was just saying. And Merino got the luckiest assist ever because obviously it doesn't mean the backheel assist for Martinelli. That's definitely not an assist. So he got lucky to get me points this week.
Oh, at least you missed it for once.
Sam
and I went for Conor Bradley, got 5 points for a clean sheet, but also it got a yellow card. Sam, you narrowly won last week. Yes. So go on then. Who are you going this week?
A player that we've talked about already, and I think will be in most people's free hit teams.
Don't tell me Sessegnon.
It's Sessegnon.
Oh my God, that was mine, man. I don't have another one.
Oh, for God's sake. I actually don't have another one either.
I will make
week.
A case for Strand Larsen. Don't worry. You go.
Okay, fine. Yeah, so Sessegnon, so he's playing on the right wing, which is what makes him more attractive, because I think on paper, over the course of the season, you would go for Anthony Robinson because he's been so good for us in FPL. But since Sessegnon's come into the team, he's been playing on the right wing despite the fact that he's a defender in the game. So you're getting those additional points for the attacking returns that he brings you. He's got two of those and a few bonus points in the last three starts. And I think the one caveat that I would place on him is that we are starting to see the return of Harry Wilson, who could also play in that position. But yeah, I think he is now, because he's playing out of position, he is now the most attacking defender in the game since he started playing. So I'm really keen on him. I think as a long-term pick, it might be a problem because of Wilson's return. But for this week, I think he'll still get that start. He'll be as attacking as he has been over the last 3 or 4 weeks and will turn well for us in FPL. But if you are managing this game without a free hit, he might be one to just consider the long-term implications of.
Tools?
So I'm going for Steven Sessegnon. Great game for Wigan against Blackpool this weekend. He's in really good form.
You just Googled him.
No, it's his twin. I know. I don't need even to Google him. I really believe in Steven, much better than his brother. Same age, obviously, because as we said, they're twins. He's been on the bench for the last three games anyway. So my pick was Sessegnon, but people steal my stuff. You know, that's what they do. So... I was thinking, can I really go for Strand Larsen after just destroying him for saying like, well, basically now that Cunha is back, there's no point picking Strand Larsen. But listen, let's hope for the best. Strand Larsen, five in his last five, as we said, but he didn't score last weekend, but he had a double, he had a brace before. 5% owned, so still low ownership compared to even Acuna or Isak or others, will cost you 5.4 million, so it's pretty cheap for him. We like him because he's tall and strong and runs a lot and he's a good finisher when he wants to be. I'm really struggling here, really.
Right, okay. To be fair, you don't get any extra points,
but really, I hope he does me win the differential.
Jules, the good news is actually we don't like rate your pitch. You don't have to like get a certain number of stats okay. and stuff in. It's just good. It just counts if the player scores in midweek and you actually can't
Wigan, if you want.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I've searched through the game. Can't seem to find him. Not sure why. Transfers and captains then. Transfers we've done. Captains.
We don't even know what our team is going to be like, our final team. So let alone the captain, you know?
Well, you definitely don't know. Let's hope that Sam's got an idea. Go on.
So I'm either going to go with Isak on the basis that he's the striker and it's a great fixture and I think that makes sense. Or I'm just going to give it to Salah on the basis that this is the week that Liverpool almost certainly win the title because I do not see them losing to Spurs. And that's me saying that. So I can see Salah doing really well. It's all those things that I said last week about wanting to captain Salah in case they had an opportunity to win the title. So for me, it's between those two. It's either do I play the fixture and go for Isak or do I play everything around the fact that they might win the title and go for the Liverpool man. And I think I'll probably end up on Salah for that reason.
Yeah, my captaincy is currently on Salah as well. It just feels a very bold weekend to go against him, doesn't it? Even though some other people have got really nice fixtures. Mm. Okay, then that's where we'll leave it. The deadline, by the way, it's back to 11 a.m. on Saturday morning. Jules, don't forget it. It's not
my team is almost ready. Like, I'm so ahead of schedule.
Yeah, it's scaring me a little bit. You don't know who you're captaining though, so get that sorted. Of course, it's Chelsea-Everton in the early kickoff before the deadline. Gianni and Praz will be back on Off the Bench on Monday to review Game Week 34 so far. Praz is with me on the Fantasy Show on Friday as well. That will be available on the Premier League website and app. And we're going to be back together next Wednesday in the studio. But I do think that means that the pod might be out on Thursday morning, as usual, just a tiny bit earlier on Thursday. We'll be previewing Game Week 35. So looking forward to seeing you two in person. As always, guys, have a brilliant game week. We do love it if you can rate and review. And the very best of luck. And don't forget the deadline.